Even if you're a diehard fan of the TV show Lost, you probably miss some of the little clues amongst the tangle of plot twists every week. There's the 48 survivors of Oceanic Flight 815 to keep track of.
I'm one of the survivors of Oceanic Flight 815. Can you get a fix on our location?
Hell yeah, we can. Sit tight. We're right there.
Or maybe not. The island has jungles, mountains, beaches, and a lot of secrets. A lethal smoke monster, a four-toed statue, the ability to travel in time and bring back the dead.
What if everything that happened here happened for a reason?
It's destiny. I don't believe in destiny.
Yes, you do. You just don't know it yet.
And so many clues come out of the strange hatches and laboratories of something called the Dharma Initiative that, well, now entire websites are dedicated to it.
I'm Dr. Edgar Hallowax. This is the orientation film. For the briefest of moments, the animal will seem to disappear.
And there's one question a lot of people ask.
What the hell's going on here? Who are you people?
Well, the man with the answers is Greg Nations, a co-producer and script coordinator on the show. It's his job to track what happens to every character on the island and off and make sense of everything the island throws at us, too. If you'd like to speak with him, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. You can always get into the conversation on our website, npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. And nice to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Is this the hardest job in show business?
No, I think the hardest job in show business would be what Damon and Carlton are doing to come up with these great stories to begin with.
They're the writers?
They're the co-creators and showrunners of the show, yeah.
The showrunners of the show. What is that?
They're the business managers, the ones that control what's going on, and they have the final yes and no say on all the creative decisions and what happens on the show.
And you are in charge of what I guess on a lot of shows is called the Bible.
Typically, yes, though we don't have a strict Bible on our show. It means a little bit different things in the past, and so, but essentially, yes.
So you have a list with every character's name and everything that's ever been said about that character and what he looks like and what he appeared like in episode 6 and all that sort of stuff?
Well, not necessarily what they appeared like in episode 6. That's more of a wardrobe function and more of a script supervisor's function on set. But I do have whatever we've established about that character. If we've ever said when they were born, other sort of facts about their past, like if we've ever established anything, I do keep track of that. Even if it didn't air, I still have track of it.
Even if it didn't air, it was brought up in a writer's meeting and might have been in a script at one point but got cut out and didn't air, you still keep track of it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And there is a little bit more to keep track of on this show than most.
Oh, yeah. With our various main characters and all the supporting characters. And then as you just pointed out, as the show goes along and we start to peel back the mysteries and you get to know more about these, the Dharma Initiative and Ben and the others and Widmore, oh, yeah, there's a lot to keep track of.
And there are people who, in addition to you, also keep track of it. There are whole websites that follow every twist and turn.
Oh, yeah. We have a really devoted and a focused group of fans. It's really nice to sort of see all that out there.
And do you ever go on those websites and wonder about the questions they ask?
I do look through them periodically. I want to just sort of check to see where what people are thinking about to sort of take the temperature of what the fans' reaction to the various episodes as they air. So I do go on and take a look around.
And I wonder, do they ever catch you in a mistake? Have you ever been busted?
Well, that's a good question because a lot of people think it has been. Now, here's the twist to it. The information that we give out in the episodes, fans may think that, oh, that contradicts something that has been said in the past. But what they don't know is in 3 episodes, we're going to reveal more information that all puts it together. So perhaps fans may have think, aha, I've caught them in some sort of problem that doesn't make sense, but then once it gets down, you know, a few episodes later, they go, oh, it all makes sense.
All right, let's get some listeners in on the conversation. Our guest is Greg Nations, a co-producer and script coordinator on the ABC TV program Lost. 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. Troy's on the line with us from Iowa City.
Yes, I got a couple quick questions. is there a link between Ben Affleck's old show called Push Nevada and Lost, and is there three time machines instead of two?
Okay.
Well, what do you mean by three time machines?
Three time machines? Well, maybe there's Ben's time machines, and also the guy that Ben's fighting, and maybe
there's
a third.
Hmm.
Because that would explain. Well, Ben says, "Hey, that plane wasn't me," and the other guy says, "Hey, that plane wasn't me, sunk in the ocean." Maybe there's a third.
I think that's a very good theory.
And
however,
also, could that explain the Push Nevada ending?
We're getting a little abstruse here.
Yeah, no, there is no connection to Push Nevada, unfortunately. And okay. As far as like the different time machines, well, I think you're going to have to continue watching to see how you feel about how it all works out.
Thanks very much for the call, Troy. As I understand it, the show has been laid out. I'm not sure in every single detail, but it's going to end completely, fundamentally, forever and ever at the end of next season, correct?
Right.
And in the last episode, by the end of the last episode, will all of the answers have been given?
You'll have to ask Damon and Carlton about that.
So they don't consult you about this sort of stuff?
Not as far as like what answers they're going to give in the storyline, or even if they are going to give any in the storyline. So no, I think you better check in with them.
Kevin's with us on the line from Chicago.
Yeah, I have to say, and I'm going to speak for a lot of my friends and such, but if you go back to season one and two, it was such an exciting event, and I will say I was the biggest fan, and a lot of friends of mine were as well, but I'm just wondering, have the ratings suffered a bit? Because it just seems like with the script and where it's going, there are no limitations to the characters, of course, or the world they live in, and it has become so complex that, to be honest with you, besides myself, a lot of people say that they've abandoned watching the show because it's become so complex, almost to the point where it has this almost Dungeon and Dragon persona about it, where that, you know, people put their hands up, and regardless of how closely they try to follow it, it almost seems too complex to follow. Maybe have you ever considered you might be shooting yourself in the foot by just making it just unlimited in its
well, again, he's not the,
if you will?
He's not the creator, but I'm sure he has thoughts on this. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think Damon and Carlton do have a master plan of where they're going with everything, and it is going to tie in together at the end. But as far as those, you know, those fans who have feel like it is growing too complex for them to follow, you know, I don't know if I necessarily have anything that I can say to them that will, you know, bring them back into the fold, so to speak. But other than, I think there's enough character stories and emotional-based stories that are going on within each week's episode that they can have something to hook into. And then if the people who want more mythology or want more of a sci-fi element to it, there's definitely that aspect of it, too. But you're right. I mean, the episodes have – I mean, the seasons have changed. As Damon and Carlton have talked in the past, it's almost like each season is a book. And as, you know, like the Harry Potter novels, each book has its own feeling and its own sort of tone and character about it. And so perhaps if they don't like this particular season or one of the past seasons, they can hook in now or in the next one and still get the story of what's going on.
You realize now people are going to say they're going to bring this back to Hogwarts?
Maybe the island is Hogwarts.
You never know. Kevin, thanks very much for the call. Let's see if we can go next to, this is Liz. Liz with us from Greenwich, Connecticut.
Hi, Neil. Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Hi, Liz.
Hi. I was wondering if once Lost is over, your records and all the data that you've been collecting will be made available to the public so we can see how meticulous your notes are and kind of read the little nuances that you've caught that we haven't caught.
Hmm.
That is an interesting question. I don't know what ABC's plans are. ABC is the ultimate owner of the show, and it really depends on what they would like to see published, if anything, at the end. So I haven't heard any rumblings about that yet, But this question does seem to be coming up more often now. So maybe they'll start to consider it.
I read an article about you in the New York Times that said if you printed out everything you've written about all these characters and all these situations, this would be as long as War and Peace.
It would be pretty voluminous, yes.
Have you ever printed it out?
I print out sections of it at a time, you know, depending on whatever we're working on.
But you've decided to save the forests.
Yeah, exactly. Because why do I need all that other stuff if I'm just focusing on this one element?
And I wonder is this for security as well? I mean, there are people who are obsessed about this and really want to know what's going to happen in the future. Or the past, whatever comes up first.
You know, I do whatever I print out, I eventually go off and shred. I don't just leave it lying around my office because, we are on the Disney studio lot, which has security obviously there and stuff. But I just, I'm taking no chances.
Liz, if such a tome were to be published, would you be interested in buying it?
Most definitely.
All right. Thanks very much. So you do have fans out there. I think more than 13.5 million per week who tune in to watch the show. So its ratings are down a bit, but nevertheless, it's still pretty good. We're talking with Greg Nations, co-producer and script coordinator on the ABC TV program Lost. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tom's on the line. Tom calling from Concord, New Hampshire.
Yeah, I wanted to know, is it your perception working on the show that the creators knew from day one where they would end up at the end of the seventh season? Or in sort of the book format, are they evolving it all the time? I mean, the big story arcs, not the little details.
Well, most people in their first season are happy just to get to the end of the first season without getting canceled.
Well, exactly. I think that, Damon was unsure even if the pilot would be picked up. If you think back to when the pilot aired, it was a pretty unique story, and it told its story in a different sort of way, and it didn't introduce the characters in a way that is typical for other TV shows. And so there was some sort of, question of whether even the pilot would be picked up. So then once it got picked up, I believe it only got picked up for about 12 episodes initially. And then, they were sort of going towards that. And once they got the full season and realized that it was much more of a hit, I think that's the early on, Damon and Carlton sat down and said, we have to, map this out of where we're going. And they set the bigger goalposts of what they were headed for.
And were you in on this from the beginning? Did they know that they were going to need somebody to keep track of all of this stuff?
No, I came in on the second season. So I had worked with Carlton and actually Damon too on a previous show called Nash Bridges. And then
Nash Bridges is easier to keep track of, I suspect.
Yeah. And then during the summer of between the first and second season, Carlton called me and offered me the job, and I immediately took it. And when I went in there, I, asked them, I said, well, where are all your support documents, essentially, that give all the information, because you guys are starting to really delve into the history of these characters, and the flashbacks are starting to have character crossings, and you guys are just going to have to keep a hold of this so that it, goes forward and you don't make any mistakes. And they were like, that's why we brought you in. Good luck.
And you had to then, I'm sure you've been watching it, but I'm sure now as the script coordinator, you had to sit down and watch that first season again very carefully.
Yeah, it's a different experience to watch it as a fan during the first season, which I did, and then to watch it to create these documents. So I would actually read the scripts and then watch the episodes. Because like I said, even if it was written in the script and it didn't make it to the final cut, I still had to track that information.
And Tom, by the way, thanks very much for the phone call. How do you go to school to become a script coordinator?
No, you go to school for other things.
How did you end up with this specialty?
I did go to film school. I went to USC Film School. And there they, it's a great program. I was very happy that I had the opportunity to go there. And I made my own films and, went through that whole process. So I'm familiar enough to know with production to know what's going to sort of be needed. And then you just, after film school, you try to get jobs within the industry. And I started working out through as a writer's assistant and up to script coordinator. And you just work your way up like any other position as any other industry goes. And then just when I got this, I realized I need to help the writers try to track this information because they're going to need to have this.
And would your next job, would you think, be, again, a script coordinator, or would you be a co-producer?
I have no idea. I guess that's up to whomever's willing to hire me and whatever title they want to give me.
Let's see if we can get one last caller in. Gary with us from Sacramento.
Yeah, I just wanted to inject a little balance in this whole discussion by pointing out that it's only a TV show and it's all fictional and that the creators could sit down together with a couple quarts of good scotch one week and they could send this story in any direction they wanted to, everywhere from killing off all the characters to turning it into a or to revealing that it was just a Bob Newhart.
That's right.
Bad dream.
Have they thought about that?
Oh, I have no idea.
Have no
they
idea.
Haven't said that to me if they have. But I think, they're pretty invested into this overall arc that they're this story that they're trying to tell. And I think there are deeper thematic ideas that are being worked out within the episodes. And I don't think they would necessarily do anything like that.
Is it a more satisfying program to work on? I'm sure it's a lot more work, for one thing, but is it a more satisfying program to work on when you've got all of these loose ends flying all over the place than Nash Bridges, which tied up every mystery, every episode?
You know, there were some really excellent episodes of Nash Bridges that are just fun to watch, just like any, movies you go out to. There's the mainstream movies that are fun, like the Lethal Weapon ones, and then there are the ones that give you much more material to think about and to really ponder. And it just depends. It depends on what type of mood you're in. We have fun episodes of Lost, which are just sort of, road movie episodes of Lost. And then they have ones that really get into the deeper thematic elements. And it is fun when you see the elements come together, when you see them pay off, and then when you see the audience enjoy them so much. I think that's a really great sense of satisfaction.
Greg Nations, thanks for your time today. Good luck.
Thank you.
Greg Nations, co-producer, script coordinator on Lost. It airs tonight and every Wednesday on ABC. Joined us from a studio in Burbank. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, while some executives may have to settle for $500,000 a year, what's right? What should people make? That's tomorrow's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.